Welcome to Think Again, a podcast by Macquarie Asset Management, providing financial advisors with a fresh perspective and innovative insights, designed to keep you and your clients a step ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Denise St. Ivany. Joining me today is Brad Warden. He's a senior portfolio manager for Macquarie Asset Management's Ivy Science and Technology team. His role revolves around making day-to-day investment decisions for the team's strategy, and we're very happy to have him back on the show. So welcome, Brad.
Thanks, Denise. Really happy to be here.
So in our 2024 outlook, Actionable Ideas for a World in Transition, we talk about preparing for the opportunities and risk that comes with artificial intelligence. With all the hype and noise around it, how do you as an investor strike that balance between opportunity and risk?
Great question to start with, Denise. I do think that if you step back and think about artificial intelligence, the hype is 100% legitimate. I think we've seen over the course of the last year, and I think, again, we're going to see in 2024, really where we start to hit stride in some of the real changes that happen in artificial intelligence, which, again, goes to our outlook for the year. But there are major changes, I think, coming from AI. And if you think about in the context of both balancing the opportunities with the risk, I think the best way to go about that and the way that we really think about it is to use a framework to really avoid, you know, some level of major disappointment or issue from an investment standpoint. And I think the best way to do that and to break it down is to think about it in a few different buckets. And one of which that we've seen, I think, over the last year, and I think many of the listeners will be familiar with, is really the infrastructure build out that we've seen. So what we've seen is a number of the companies really creating the plumbing that we need for artificial intelligence. And that being things like building out AI specific data centers. Over the last year, what you've really seen is from the chip companies have had pretty unbelievable results. And that's a direct result of this underlying infrastructure build out, the plumbing that needs to be laid from a foundational standpoint to be able to facilitate artificial intelligence. And we'll dig in more, I think, later as we talk about what that looks like. But that underlying infrastructure is really where we've been invested actually for a number of years. And I think that's a critical, important first factor. Now, as we look, and I think a lot of what we're talking about as we think about our 2024 outlook is really that next step. So you're going to continue to see this big build out from a plumbing perspective, infrastructure build out. But what you're also going to see is you're going to start to see these product enhancements happen. And that's sort of the next bucket as we think about the framework for investing. You think about things like a Copilot you may have heard about from Microsoft. You're going to start to see more uptake in those types of products where existing companies, incumbents, start adding more feature sets, be they on the software side or others. And it's not just going to be within technology. It's going to be across the spectrum of industries. And that's what I think you're going to start to see and hear about. You're going to hear about productivity enhancements within certain companies that they're really seeing as a result of the adoption of some of these tools and capabilities. But at the same time, it's still very early. So you're going to see more iterations. You're going to see early adoption of some things that are a little bit better, but you're not going to see as much of these giant leaps as I think you will see as we go over the course of the next few years. And with that, then, kind of comes to the third bucket that we think about, again, in investing, and that's the new products. So right now, as we iterate through, we figure out how do we facilitate AI? How do we enhance the existing products by adding applications? Then the next framework that we think about is like, if what do we do next? What does this foundational change give us the ability to do? And many of those things are things that we're looking at and trying to figure out right now. What could that be? And in many cases, the market won't know what that is for a couple of years, because again, we're really creating those tools. We're getting the data ready. You know, going back to the infrastructure side, we have to have the data ready for the analysis within the artificial intelligence framework and data center to be able to make it usable. That's an important part of the investment that's happening right now as well. On the risk side, so I talked about a lot of the the framework for really looking at the opportunities. But if you think on the risk side, you know, we all see the headlines and think, okay, is AI, are there going to be AI robots taking over the world? What do we really need to worry about? But really, when we think about the risk side of things from an investment standpoint, with innovation comes disruption. And I think one of the things that we have to really work hard at is to make sure that we spend as much time avoiding those companies that are going to be disrupted or in the process of being disrupted as looking for those opportunities. And so from a risk perspective, we spend a great deal of time, again, honing in on those particular areas of whether it's an incumbent company or other companies that may have an existing business model where someone else shows up with an AI-enabled capability and they start to take a significant amount of market share. So those are the types of things that we go in the weeds with within this area to make sure that we recognize, again, the opportunities, but also balance with the risk components of that.
Sounds like tons of research. So tech has dominated, you know, and there's been tremendous increase in the technology world over the last decade. And so some investors might feel like they get enough technology exposure in their broader market funds. I'd love your perspective on why you believe having a dedicated approach to technology is crucial.
So if you look back at history and you think about the times where we had massive innovation, you know, whether you think back to the internet era, the smartphone, different areas of time, again, that we can kind of define early on, but you see really the knee in the curve where things really start to change, where innovation really accelerates. And if you look at during those period of time, you see that some of the incumbents in those time periods, but a lot don't. And I think as you think about a dedicated, focused approach, there's going to be more disruption over the next few years with some of those key incumbents where others are going to have a technological or market position advantage. And I think that's as we think about those opportunities, and as I mentioned earlier, the ability to avoid, you know, find the opportunities, but also avoid the risks. And I think that's what a real dedicated approach during these times of real rapid acceleration and innovation, that's really the time that you can really make hay within a strategy like ours. And I think the other part of this too is that I think the next layer down is to think about where the innovation is coming from, right? If you're in some of the large mega caps, there's innovation there. And I think those are names that are going to continue to innovate. But some of the newest and most exciting companies are going to come from those new innovations that I mentioned as well. And what we do is we spend a lot of time in what I'll call the innovation trenches, where not only are we focused on some of the existing innovation that we hear about publicly in the headlines, but we also go within our strategy, we have the opportunity to go and do things like go to the Consumer Electronics Show that I was at a couple weeks ago, spending time at CES with some of those experts that are really not ones you're ever going to hear about, names of companies that you may have never heard about, but hearing about that innovation. It's other things like spending time at MIT's Idea Lab or at the Langer Lab at MIT, finding about what's the next layer of healthcare and biotech innovation that's going to be coming, or at the Olin College of Engineering, another place where there's a lot of expertise in engineering, robotics, other things like that, spending time with those practitioners, understanding what are the research projects that they're working on? What do we need to be looking out for? While it may not be immediately accessible from an investment standpoint, but what it does do is it not only warns us about potential disruption, but it makes us much better investors. We ask better questions of our company management teams, and we position ourselves better as we think about the timing of when particular innovations may come to the market and then ultimately impact the economics and the underlying performance of those stocks. We also spend time, again, with private companies, which you know, are some of the key innovators before they go public. And again, we invest in public equities, but as a focused strategy, back to your question, Denise, I think is that this gives us the opportunity to really understand the heart of innovation and what's going on and how that will impact the technology names within our portfolio.
With new technology, it almost seems like people need to learn a new language to keep up. Most investors aren't tech experts, so what do they need to know to understand generative AI?
I do think it is a new language. And if you are reading about generative AI or other things that may even dig into some more of the deep technical knowledge, you'll hear different things. And I think that goes back to my point before is that, and that is a great part about having a dedicated manager really evaluating that new technology, is that you don't need to understand every little detail because it is complicated. But what's really important to know is that as we think about AI, it's an iterative process. And I think that is the thing that's the most powerful of the technology. And I'll hit on a few of the things that you may hear out there from a wording perspective. But I'd advise you, the most important thing to think about is that we're going to see new and different things within AI that are attached to this big, broad thing called AI. I'll use an example that I think is a good one as you think about the context of the evolution of AI. You know, within the time frame that we saw the smartphone show up, right? So we saw the smartphone, new hardware, flashy new screen, all this exciting new stuff. And we had an app store that was introduced. And in that app store, there were a handful of apps initially, right? At first, it was a cool poker app or some other things like that. And we thought, wow, that's kind of neat to have those things. But what I mean, as I talked about AI being an iterative thing and seeing where there may be steps in terms of innovation, think about what an app store really meant. At that point, it unlocked the entire world to developers. It allowed a developer to reach every person that had that particular smartphone or that operating system once it was live within that app store. That changed the world. That created hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of new businesses and new business models. It disrupted an entire ecosystem around various parts where e-commerce came in relative to brick and mortar. There was just but at that same time, we couldn't really fathom the disruption that that was going to bring. Those are the types of things I think that you're going to see with AI as we go through the next several years, as we see new capabilities come. And in a number of cases, we don't know what those are going to be. But what I can tell you is from a dedicated team, we are spending our time day in and day out looking for the signals of when and where those things are happening. And that, again, goes to this focused strategy. In terms of AI language, you know, you hear things like large language models, training, inference, generative AI itself, right? But I think the best way, again, to think about those things is to think about generative AI as iterative. And again, arguably two people that probably have the greatest insight into the evolution of AI are Sam Altman and Satya Nadella. So Sam is the CEO of OpenAI. You may have seen his name or seen him interviewed different places or testifying before Congress. And Satya is the CEO of Microsoft. And I would argue these two guys are probably at the very leading edge and being able to peer over the cliff looking at AI. And I think what their conversations, if you have a chance, I'd encourage you to look at some of their interviews. They did an interview recently where they talked through generative AI, and generative AI that you think about ChatGPT or some of these other things that have come that are utilizing the AI infrastructure. And what they discussed was, okay, so the first iteration makes about 10% of human tasks better. Call it the ability to do 10% better. Does that mean doing things faster? Yes. Does that mean doing things better with more information? Yes. It means a number of these different things. But as you go from a ChatGPT 3.5 to ChatGPT 4 and continue that adoption, each one is going to get a little bit better because they're learning better how to train those models, as I mentioned, training, and then to infer, so inference relative to those models. And then you go from 10%, maybe you go to 15% better, 20% better. And as you unlock those things and those capabilities, new and different types of applications will come. Things like a copilot, right? You may have heard Microsoft's Copilot that's launched, that now companies are starting to really take up and experiment with. And I think this is the phase too, that as you think about this, while it's iterative, it's experimental. So the companies are going to try to figure out, how do we best use this technology in our business model, in our culture, with our employees? And each company is going to be different. So you're going to see a lot of those things, and you're going to see it percolate, and you're going to see companies talk about those things. So again, fundamentally, don't get hung up on this word or that word. Just think about it collectively as really moving us forward from an iterative standpoint, to the extent that we're gaining massive jumps in productivity over a longer period of time. And I think in that context too, it's really important to go back to what we talked about from our strategy. During these periods of time where there is potential disruption, and really at the leading edge of disruption, is a good time for active management within an area like artificial intelligence and a number of the other areas of innovation that are happening right now as well.
Well, I'm excited about the future just listening to you so far, but I know you probably have some other innovative ideas that you've become familiar with. Can you share some of those with us?
Definitely. You know, very excited, obviously, about AI. I think that will be, that's one that's driven a number of our investments, and I think we'll continue to drive a number of new ones in the future. But there's also a number of other things going on, and in some ways, they're correlated or connected. And the first one I'll mention is quantum computing, which you may have heard about. And quantum computing is one where you really start to think about exponential increases in computing power. Now, there are some physics limitations about, you know, the temperature at which you've got to have this particular compute model to be able to free the qubits to be able to interact and to create those types of computing capabilities and the applications around it. So we're still very early in that. Now, you start to think about coupling that massive exponential increase in compute alongside what's going on in AI that we've just spent a number of minutes talking about, that's when you start to see those game-changing applications that I talked about. So I'd encourage you to think about quantum computing hand in hand as it comes into the market and usability that with AI. And those together, again, create entirely new types of opportunities. The next one that really is top of mind for us is healthcare. And given our science and technology focus and focus on innovation broadly, healthcare, really AI changes the game. If you think about it, in many ways, some of the very best physicians really have all their experience and pattern recognition, everything in their head, right? You go in and your trusted physician is somebody who has seen a lot of cases, hopefully like what you're experiencing. So then they can make that correlation and say, okay, hey, this has worked in the past. Let's do that. Now imagine having millions of physicians all at once with that information and that experience all together to help diagnose what's going on. That is really exciting. And I think that's something in an area that's going to see massive change over the next even handful of years and decade out. I think it's going to look very, very different. And it's not necessarily a replacement of physicians, but what it does do is it gives you, again, an assistant that can do a lot more of that and enhance the decision-making of the humans on the other end. Plus, it frees up resources. Those are things that are really exciting to us. And again, not to mention all of the capabilities of pattern recognition, other things behind the scenes from a generative AI perspective, as it goes to developing new and novel therapies and medicines. Very exciting space. Transportation is one. Think about EVs, safety. There's so much more still to come in the transportation area, and not just limited again to cars and trucking and ocean going or other things like that, but really just in terms of enhancing productivity and the capabilities that's good for our planet, that's good for commerce, that's good for the economics, and that's good for the stock market, all of those things hand in hand. And then the last one I'll mention is really visual computing, right? We know Apple's coming out what I think we commonly refer to as the ski goggles in the next week or so. But I think what's important to recognize there is the augmented reality capabilities that they're doing. And they're bringing together the capabilities within semiconductors, within visual, call it screen technologies, within audio, along with battery, because obviously you have to be able to sustain the capabilities to be able to move through this. And it's going to be very clunky. You're going to see write-ups saying, well, there's not enough apps. There's other things like this. But this is a first step. And I think as you look at history, this is another area that, again, as we think about the physics and the way that things move and the ability to miniaturize different things, think about this now becoming in a contact lens or something else like that that's very, very discreet. And that is sort of where we're headed as you think about that. So those are some other areas. And again, there's no lack of innovation that we see in the world right now, but we are entering a period that, again, there's going to be rapid opportunities for change and disruption. And I think it's something that we're very excited about as we sit in our chairs here and look at what's coming down the pike.
Well, as I listen to you, it seems clear that an active manager in the space is really crucial. And with technology advancing so rapidly, you have to balance those risks and rewards at play. So we really appreciate you sharing your insights, Brad, and for being here today with us.
Thank you, Denise. It's been a pleasure.
Well, remember, you can read all the insights from our 2024 Outlook, Actionable Ideas for a World in Transition. Just visit DelawareFunds.com/outlooks to learn more.
Thanks for listening. Check out the show notes for more information on topics from this episode. And be sure to subscribe to Think Again, wherever you get your podcasts. This recording is intended for financial professionals and institutional investors only. This is not intended for use with the general public. The views expressed in this podcast represent those of the speaker and are subject to change. Nothing presented should be construed as a recommendation to purchase or sell any security or follow any investment technique or strategy, and does not constitute advice, an advertisement, an invitation, a confirmation, an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, or an offer of any banking or financial service. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. All examples herein are for illustrative purposes only, and there can be no assurance that any particular investment objective will be realized or any investment strategy seeking to achieve such objective will be successful. Past performance is not a reliable indication of future performance. Before acting on any information, consider the appropriateness of it with regard to your particular objectives, financial situation, and needs, and seek advice. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made as to the accuracy of completeness of the information, opinions, and conclusions presented. In preparing this recording, reliance has been placed, without independent verification, on the accuracy and completeness of all information available from external sources. Macquarie Asset Management is the asset management division of Macquarie Group. Macquarie Asset Management is a full-service asset manager offering a diverse range of products across public and private markets, including fixed income, equities, multi-asset solutions, private credit, infrastructure, renewables, natural assets, real estate, and asset finance. The public investment business is a part of Macquarie Asset Management and includes investment products and advisory services distributed and offered by and referred through affiliates, which include Delaware Distributors, LP, a registered broker/dealer, and member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and Macquarie Investment Management Business Trust, a Securities and Exchange Commission registered investment advisor. Investment advisory services are provided by a series of MIMBT. Macquarie Group refers to Macquarie Group Limited and its subsidiaries and affiliates worldwide. Delaware Funds by Macquarie refers to certain investment solutions that Macquarie Asset Management Public Investments distributes, offers, refers, or advises. Other than Macquarie Bank Limited, any Macquarie Group entity noted in this podcast is not an authorized deposit-taking institution for the purposes of the Banking Act 1959. The obligations of these other Macquarie Group entities do not represent deposits or other liabilities of Macquarie Bank. Macquarie Bank does not guarantee or otherwise provide assurance in respect of the obligations of these Macquarie Group entities. In addition, if this podcast relates to an investment, the investor is subject to investment risk, including possible delays in repayment and loss of income and principal invested, and none of the Macquarie Bank or any other Macquarie Group entity guarantees any particular rate of return on or the performance of the investment, nor do they guarantee repayment of capital in respect of the investment.